Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I want to preach a message this morning entitled Solemn Self-Examination. David wrote this song, and that's what it is, and entrusted it to Jeduthun, who was the chief musician in the house of God. He did this because this psalm is inspired by and preserved by the Holy Spirit for our profit. If you read the whole psalm, you'll find out that David wrote this in a time of sickness and sadness and sorrow. But what David does and says in this psalm is rarely practiced by anyone in our day. He engaged in solemn self-examination. In essence, he asks himself, what am I doing? What am I saying? How am I saying it? And how am I going to end up? What does my life count for? In a world filled with so much activity and noise and diversion, I fear that most people never stop to consider their standing before God. Very few people ever stop to think, how is my life being lived and how does my life affect other people? I believe that Satan and the temptations of the world have most people so distracted, they rarely ever stop and take an honest self-assessment of who they are, where they're going for all eternity, and how they are living their lives. It's important that we examine ourselves honestly and transparently before God. The first thing I see is a resolution. David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways. Interestingly enough, and I'm sure you know this from all the times you've read the Psalms and all the times that you've read Psalm 119, when you study the life and writings of David, you find him making several resolutions, especially in Psalm 119. They're all over that 176 verses where David resolves or determines to do something, to be something. Now, his resolution in this place, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways. It included not only this determination, but even more specifically, I'm going to see how I'm living. I'm going to take heed to my ways. I'm going to consider what my life is, what he was doing, where, what he was saying, where he was going. He's saying to himself, it's time for me to take inventory of my life. Now you'll notice something here. He said, I'll take heed to my ways. You know, I think most people today are nosy and they're busybodies. They're always looking to find faults in other people's ways. I mean, isn't that what Facebook's all about? Instagram, finding out what everybody's doing and all the lies they're telling, and how you can be critical of them. The fact of the matter is, when you're really saved by the grace of God, and you have a genuine relationship with the Lord, you're going to see the importance of taking heed to your ways. To look inwardly, to look at yourself. What am I doing? You see, I think it's important to note that self-examination, this solemn, requires brutal honesty and a single focus, not in the flaws of others, but in our own shortcomings, in our own frailties. When was the last time you honestly said before God, I'm going to take heed to my ways? I'm going to really consider what I'm doing. Now, an entire sermon could be developed from this one phrase where he said, I will consider, I will take heed to my ways, but let's consider some major points. The biggest one of all. Have you considered whether your ways, what do I mean by that? Your way of life. The way you think, the way you talk, the way you act, your deportment, your behavior. The real you. Have you ever considered whether your ways are in agreement with God's way as revealed in the Holy Scriptures? And let me take this just a step further. Do you even care about what God says and whether or not your life lines up under His authority? The authority of His Word. Do you care? I'm convinced that most people in the world today care little about what God thinks or what God says. They don't want God or His Word or some church to interfere with their ways, their thoughts, their philosophies, their ideology. Does your way match up with God's way in salvation? Have you considered your spiritual condition before God? Now, I'm not talking about your outward profession. Everybody's pretty shined up today. Y'all look pretty good. And I'm glad. And I could tell several of you brushed your teeth. I'm glad for that. I think it, all of the personal hygiene, you look good. You're here in the house of God. You're making the effort to be here. Thank God for that. But I want to ask you this morning, Is your heart right with God? Are you saved? God's way. Do you truly know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, that you would spend all eternity with the Lord in heaven? Do you have that assurance? Now there's another question key to that answer. How are you getting there? Why would God let you in heaven? You're rotten. You're sinful. You're broken. You're a lawbreaker. That's true of everybody that I've ever met. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If that's true, if we're all ruined, if we're all broken, how in the world can we ever hope to get to heaven? You say, well, I'm going to work my way there. That's laughable. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You don't have enough works to get to heaven. There is none righteous, no, not one. God requires absolute perfection and absolute righteousness. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth as soon as they be born speaking lies. We're all sinners from birth and by our practice. You're not perfect. All right, you say you're going to get to heaven by your works. Raise your hand if you're perfect this morning. You've never even had a thought of sin. You've never spoken a word of sin. You've never done a deed of sin. You've never been disrespectful to your parents and dishonored them in any way. No hands? Well, thank God I got an honest congregation. The fact of the matter is, you can't get to heaven by you, by what you do, by your ways, because they just don't measure up with God's standard. And this is what's wrong with every single false religion. Every false religion says, well, if you be baptized, if you do the best you can, God helps those that help themselves. If you'll just be faithful and if you'll be sincere. No. But the Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's in comparison to what God requires. They're filthy, unacceptable, unprofitable. That's what God's Word says. Every false religion, their premise for why they exist is they teach men that they can do certain things to be saved and to stay saved. And yet the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, are you saved? Have you believed the gospel? How that Christ died according to the Scriptures? How He was buried? How He rose again? Are you trusting only in the work that Jesus Christ did for sinners? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ Himself, the founder of our religion, the Christian religion, said there's no way to God or heaven except by me. I'm the way. Any other way is false. No matter how sincere somebody may be in that falsehood, it's Jesus or hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. I'm going to take my stand with the Word of God. I am trusting only in what Jesus did. I have no confidence in Tom Ross. I know what I am. I know the rock out of which I've been hewn. I know the miry pit that he drug me out of. There's no way I could save myself or keep myself saved. I'm trusting only in Jesus, in what he did. And then, do you consider your way in service? Are you really serving God through loving, cheerful obedience to his commands? You hear what I said? Loving, cheerful obedience. Because it's not service if you don't look at it that way. I serve God because I love Him. Because I want to please Him. I want to honor Him. I want to glorify His name. Not just on Sunday morning when I'm all shined up and dressed up and ready to go to church. I want to serve Him every day. So how is it? Consider your ways. David said, I said, I will take heed to my way. How is your way when it comes to reading the Bible? Are you reading it every day? Are you studying the Word of God? If you don't, how do you know what I'm telling you is the truth? If you don't read the Bible for yourself, how do you know I'm not a heretic? And that I'm not a false teacher. Brother Ross, are you telling us to question you? Yeah. If I'm wrong, if I don't line up to what the Word of God says, yes. But you won't know that unless you read the Bible for yourself. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, against thee. How is it with you and the Word of God? You claim to be a Christian. You claim to love the Lord. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? How are you going to know what the sayings of Christ are and do them if you never read them? If all you get is when you come here on Sunday morning, you are robbing yourself. And you're going to be a baby all your life. A baby Christian. You won't grow. You need the milk and the meat of the Word. Desiring the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. How is it? Have you considered your way? In the Word. Are you growing? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? How is it in your way of worship? Can you say with the psalmist, Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord? Or is this really inwardly, it's a torture to you? You're just doing it. Let's be glad when we come to the house of God. It's part of our service. How about witnessing? When's the last time you told somebody about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what great things He's done for your soul? Are you ashamed of Him? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God by faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When was the last time you told somebody about the Lord Jesus and how much you love Him and how thankful you are that He saved you and forgave you and that you want to live your life for His glory and His honor? Am I hitting anything yet? Are you considering the resolution David made? I'm going to consider my way. You see, it gets painful. If you're really brutally honest and you really give solemn thought to this and not just brush it off, I think you'll see how important it is to really consider what's most important in life. How is it with you and God in prayer, in service, in helping others? Now, I don't have a lot of time this morning. How about it? How is it with you in tithing? The tithe is the Lord's. Salvation, service, and then in substance. How are your ways with regard to your relationships in your home? Again, I'm asking you, can you make this resolution to consider to take heed to your ways? Men, what kind of husband are you? What kind of leader in your home are you? What do you teach your children, your wife, your grandchildren? How do you lead them? Can you, like the writer of Proverbs, say, "Son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways, see what I do and follow me"? How is it with you, men? I tell you, our society is crying out for men who will lead their families in the way of godliness and truth and righteousness. We need men who will stand up with Joshua and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need that kind of resolution. How is it with you, ladies? Wives? Do you reverence and respect your husband? Do you submit to him? Oh, preacher, don't you understand? This is 2019. You're not supposed to talk that way. It's Bible. Do you love your husband? Husbands, do you love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it? And wives, are you in submission to your own husband? Do you follow him in truth and in righteousness? Children. Hannah and Haley thought I was going to skip this one. I'm not. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, Gavin. You got that, Gavin? Oh, you know what? Now, here's a little sinner Gavin is. I'm talking to Gavin, and you know what he's doing? He's pointing to his sister. Isn't it the way? It's the old Max Pemberton way. Max, when I'd preach a sermon like this, Max Pemberton would come out and say, "Man, that was a hot sermon. Those people really needed it." Gavin's 9 years old and he's already, she's the one. But children, consider your ways. Are you obedient? Do you honor your parents? Do you love them? You see what I'm getting at? Most people never really consider their ways. and give much thought at all to the substance of their relationships in their home, in the workplace, at church, in the community. What is your life really all about? As you interact with people. And then he gets even more narrow in his scope. As he takes heed to his ways, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Wow. I'm going to consider my ways, and even more than that, I'm going to take heed to what I say. He got convicted about his speech. He determined to take control of his tongue. I think he had come to the conclusion that the way he talks needs to be more guarded so that he won't sin with his words. You know what your words are? They're a manifestation and a reflection of who you are inside. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A lot of times, what you really think comes out in the way you talk to other people. It's important to say right things at the right times. But how many people in our day and age ever even consider anything that comes out of their mouth? There's so much profanity, vulgarity, foolish jesting. David prayed in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Paul the apostle wrote to the Ephesians, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How's your speech? Have you considered it lately? Husbands, wives, the way you talk to each other. The way your kids and grandkids hear you talk to one another. I'll take heed to my ways. James chapter 3 is so powerful, and it really reveals our hypocrisy oftentimes. He said this in verse 2 to give you an indication just how wild our tongues can be. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. How about this solemn resolution? How is it with your ways today? When was the last time you just, I'm going to take heed to my ways. I'm going to examine my life in the light of God's Word. Am I really following the Lord? Am I following the teaching of His Word? Do I love Him? Do I love people? Am I concerned about how my life is affecting my kids and my grandkids and the people that I work with? May God help us to be honest before God, honest with ourselves. And will you join with me in conviction that I need to take heed to my ways? I need to be more thoughtful about the way I'm living my life. Let's all stand.